I get my glasses. Gave you the welcome. We'll just get right into announcements. What announcements do we have today? Miss Wanda, I know you have one.
Don't forget, next Saturday is the Butcher and Breakfast. We had a small meeting last Sunday and decided we used to always put 4 cookies in a packet for $1. This year we're going to do just 3, and if they're really large cookies, just 2. With the price of everything going up and the expenses up, it just seems like it's fair to us and fair to them, the people too. I don't know if you plan on dropping, I'm not exactly sure what time somebody will be over there to receive in the evening, but if you're bringing them Saturday morning, please get them there between 7 and 8, because around 8 o'clock is when most of the people were there.
And with that being said, we're going to have a drop-off on Friday evening, but we've got to get with somebody with the fire hall to see when the facility is going to be open there. We don't know when the ladies are preparing their stuff, so we'd like to set it around 4, so anybody that doesn't want to drive after dark, we'll just set it at 4, and even if they aren't open or we can't have it open, I'll make sure I'm over there to get who brings, and I can put it in the car till it is open, okay?
Also, you can remember, mark it on your calendar, December the 4th is our church social starting at 5 o'clock. It's a potluck dinner. You bring either meat, a side dish, or dessert. You can bring one of each or just one of the categories, whatever. And then we will be having special music after the meal is done. And then don't forget our bazaar, which is on December the 10th over at the fire hall activity. And it's from 12 to 5. And we'll be setting up a bake sale there again, so we'll need those delicious cookies back for that time.
Yeah, so while you're making for Thanksgiving, make some extra. Put in the freezer, they're okay, frozen, and pop back out. Ask Miss Thor, she knows. Any others?
Yeah.
Frank?
I just want to continue to remind that we have the sheet back there for the changes and the additions in the directory, and I'd like for people to check in the directory, the current directory, and see if everything in there is correct, because a lot of times we fail to make the changes and we go ahead and have it printed, and then afterwards we discover that there were changes. just take a few moments, look in the directory, make sure that the addresses, the phone numbers, and all that kind of stuff are correct for each one of you, each individual. And then if it is any additions or corrections, please note it on that sheet, because I'll probably start taking it next week.
Just a quick info to let you know, we gathered $241 for a heifer project. Linda came down and we counted money, and that wasn't our day to count too good. We had to open coin wrappers back up and re-wrap them because we lost count. I guess we were drinking too much coffee and talking too much. I don't know. But anyway, it ended up to be $241, and I just want to tell you what we decided this year. Other years we took a share of an animal, like you gave $10 towards the animal or whatever. This year we decided to buy a whole pig. What do you know about that? We didn't just buy the quarter end or the front end. We bought a whole pig for $120. Now, with that being said, that pig will have babies. It'll be a sow. It'll have babies. And what they do when they're in this kind of project, they share with their community. So if that sow has 8-10 pigs, each member or each one family in the community that's in need will get a pig. Now, I never realized this. There's a multi-purpose for a pig. When they have, sometimes in these third world countries, they don't have the greatest of hygiene and cleanup efforts. Those pigs will eat their leftover stuff, like off their garden or whatever. So it's not going to cost them a lot to feed the pig because they already have the means. And when the pig eats, you know what he does. They can use that for the fertilizer for their garden. So it's a multi-purpose thing. And then we bought a garden, what says garden seeds, it's for $60, but it can be also, there may be fruit tree seeds and whatnot. And then that helps the community as well. When they plant the garden, they can share or they can sell a little bit to get some income. And we did a hope basket. A hope basket was for $50, and that includes some rabbits and some chickens. We all know rabbits produce fast, so does chickens if they hatch the eggs. That way, all can benefit. You know, then they can start this, these people over here can get their own rabbits and produce. Same way the chickens will produce, plus they'll give them eggs. And then there was like $11 left, and we just marked there for whatever need they need it for. But it's kind of fun to go through. I miss the days when the kids were here and I let them pick. It was kind of fun to see what they would pick, what they wanted to give. So, but anyway, I thank you all, and I hope God richly blesses you for all your donations of love.
Good choice.
All right, any other announcements? Call to worship then is from Malachi 4:1-2a. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will stumble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healings in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the stall-fed calves. Maybe bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we just again come before you to give thanks, give honor, give praise to you, Father, for all that your hand gives out, all the love, all the mercy, all the grace. Father, you just are awesome, just as the song says, an awesome God. Father, just please be patient with us where we falter or where we stumble. Help pick us up and guide us on. Father, we thank you for your love, and we just give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now we can all participate in hymn number 425. 425, for those who can, please stand.
Thank you.
Now, you notice in your bulletins this morning, we added a little something extra. We've been kicking around the idea, since we don't do collection anymore, bring it up here and pray over it. I just felt we need to pray over the gifts that are given and that God blesses them so that they're used wisely and used in His name and for good. So now we'll just bow our heads for a brief word of prayer over the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those present this morning, for those that have laid their offerings and their gifts of love in the box in the back, Father. And we just ask that you would bless that gift and bless the giver. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to use the money wisely. And may it all be done in your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sharing of joys and concerns. It's a joy to see Darlene back.
Yes, wait.
Yes. And it's a joy to see Caleb and Drew. Woo. Bob?
We're thankful that Jackie was able to fill in here for us this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
What a talent. Thank you so much, Jackie. Appreciate that. God bless you.
I want to thank everybody, and Debbie wants to also thank everybody for the cards and prayers, especially, and keep all of our family in prayer.
And Darlene, Travis has been on my mind this week.
Now,
do we still need to leave Travis?
We really need prayers for Travis.
Ms. Francis?
Prayer for my cousin Barbara Claire. She's having a knee operation tomorrow.
I wanted to put the Stanball family on the list of Sam's things.
Continue to pray for those in our congregation that's been having issues with health and etc. I'm not going to try and name them because I don't want to miss any of them. So the good Lord knows who they are. So just pray, Father, that you will give them the strength and the ability to completely recover. And we also want to continue to remember those over in Ukraine, etc. And the whole world is as a whole, because the leaders of our country and our nations and the other countries as well needs to come together in peace, love, and compassion for each other to stop the wars and the problems and troubles we have here on earth.
Yes. Let's keep Wilton in our prayers too. Wilton came home from the hospital. He had COVID, but keep him in prayer for, I think it's the 22nd, isn't it, Judy, that he has surgery to remove the mask. So let's pray for the doctors, the staff, and all, that they be guided by the Lord's hands. Danny?
I put my neighbor's wife on there. She's been having complications with her health. My sister, who had a hip replacement this week, healing for her. And then especially our military, traveling around the world, keep it safe.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Okay.
I want to keep the Beal family in our prayers. Beal, our friend, he did pass away last night with cancer. He just has a young family, so they're in real need of prayers for the family.
Can you say they have young ones?
Yes. Well, the one in high school and the one graduated 2 years ago. Okay. She was one of my students.
Okay.
Really nice family.
Bradley?
Oh, I remember my brother Phil. After surviving the surgery, he's got pneumonia now. He's had to move into ICU. And for Woody and for Salvation, for our families.
Others. I have a whole list, but he knows my list, so. Okay, let's come before the Lord. How you deem fit. O kind, loving, Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to come to your house this morning to give you the worship and praise and the thanksgiving that you so deserve. Father, if it were not for you, we would be like lumps of clay that just crack when dried and just scatter in the wind. Father, we just can't thank you enough for the many blessings you give us. We can't thank you enough for answered prayers. Mm-hmm. Father, now you know the list is long, and where I may fail to lift up, I know you won't forget. So, Father, we just ask that you continue to be with Deb and Darlene and Rick in their healing and Alan. And, Father, please lift Travis up. You let him find some comfort and peace within, Father, so that he can once again enjoy life and enjoy family. Father, we just thank you and count it a great blessing to have Jackie, Sister Jackie, fill in this morning. We just ask that you would continue to bless her and bless Pastor Sam. We just are so grateful that Pastor Sam stepped up to the plate to help in our worship hour. And Father, we just ask that you would bless him for his efforts and his labors of love. Father, it's just consoling to know that you have a pastor that you can go to in times when you need to discuss something or you need direction, and Pastor Sam has filled that, at least for me, he has filled that, and I'm just so grateful. Father, I think of Francis's cousin Barb and her surgery. We just ask healing hands upon her. I think of the Stambaugh family and the loss of a father, a husband, a grandfather. Father, just bless the Stambaugh family with peace. May the memories, sweet memories, flood their memories, their minds, so that they can find comfort in that. Father, we think of the health issues in our congregation, for we must face the fact that our congregation is kind of getting a little age on them, and we just need your love, we need your strength and healing power. Father, we think of Wilton, whose surgery is coming up, and we just ask that you would guide the doctor's hands, that you would, as they do the surgery, that you would be there in the midst and that your hand would be upon their hand. Let all go well and let him just come through the surgery successful and be on the road to recovery. Father, we think of Danny's neighbor. We just ask that you, your hand be upon her, be upon Danny's sister as her hip surgery. We just ask that you would strengthen and heal her. We think of our military, Father. We think of our police. We think of our first responders, Father. Each and every one puts their life on the line every day so that we have the freedoms we have. Father, we just ask that you would bless them, guide them, keep them safe. Father, we think of the Beale family and the loss of a father. We just ask that you put your loving arms around that family, and may those in the community come together to give that family love and comfort that is needed. We think of Brad's brother, Phil. We just ask that you would heal him of the pneumonia now and let him be able to be strong so that he can recover from the surgery. We think of Woody. There's so many in the prayer on the prayer list that is battling cancer, Father, and we just put that into your hands, Father. But mainly we also want to ask that if there's any in that list that needs to know you as Lord and Savior, that that comes about. Father, we think of the salvation for our families. You know a mother's heart, a father's heart. You know where our thoughts and our concerns are when it's due to our children and our grandchildren, Father. And we just lift them up to you that they would come to know you and love you as we do. Father, we think of the Ukraine and the wars and the rumors of wars. Your word tells us that will be. But Father, we just ask that Ukraine would be able to live peaceably once again, that Russia would go back into their own country and be satisfied. We lift up the world to you this day, Father. We lift up the elected officials that have been placed in office. It's a serious and duty, and may they not take it lightly. And I pray for each one, whatever party they are with, I pray that they would come and seek your counsel and seek your guidance so we can get this world back on track, get this country back on track, Father. Father, we think of Florida and the victims there of the hurricane. We just ask that the communities, you would give them the strength and the willpower to rebuild their communities and do it together in love. Father, now for any of those that will be traveling, we just ask for traveling mercies. Father, we just, again, we lift up this church to you. Help us to realize that you are the main reason why we're here today and that we should always love, honor, and obey. Father, we thank you for all the blessings again. And we will now pray in that precious prayer all together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we will join our hearts and our voices in hymn number 445. Please stand if you're able. This morning is Quick for Spiritual Warfare. And if you took notice to the first hymn, it talked about the helmet and the armor. Scripture reading today comes from Ephesians 6, verses 16 through 17. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now we'll give Pastor Stan our attention. Open our ears and our hearts.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always good to be back on the ridge on a Sunday morning. Sunny, a little bit windy, but that's fine. We're glad to be here. We're looking at the spiritual armor of the believer, and we'll continue today in that. Let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks today that you protected us, you're leading us, as we saw in Sunday school. We rely on your strength for all the things about us. May we do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Talking about the whole armor of God, we have on that belt of truth. We haven't heard much of that in the last month. We won't hear much more next month. The world lies. The Bible says, all men are liars. You want to know one verse that's fulfilled continually? All men are liars. Yeah. And I asked the last time and again, how can you tell when a politician's lying? His lips are moving. On the other hand, give him a little bit of benefit. None of them know what's ahead. And so it's not totally their fault. They can't tell what's coming. We didn't know 9/11 was coming on 9/10. So I understand that. And then we have that breastplate of righteousness in a world full of unrighteousness. And we got on our track shoes called the shoes of the gospel, sharing the gospel. So today it starts picking up down here. Above all, that is, at all times, you've always got to do this. This is something you follow every day. Taking the shield of faith, whereby you're able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. This shield protects the whole body. About 2.5 feet wide. Let's see here. Oh, that's about up to this point. That's about 2 feet. That's 2.5 feet wide. Let's see, 4 feet. How are we going to go here? Mm-hmm. Up to about here. That's it. 2.5 feet by 4 feet. You're in a war. That's your only protection. 2.5 feet by 4 feet. Doesn't sound like much, does it? Let me ask you a couple questions. We'll take plywood. If someone gave you a piece of plywood, 2.5 feet by 4 feet, and told you to carry it to the back of the room, could most of you be able to do that? Probably 2.5 feet by 4 feet. All right. Someone gives you a 4-foot by 8-foot and says, could you carry this? Might be a little more difficult to carry. So what we're saying is this shield of faith is not very big. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. My point is this. Better to have a little faith in a big God than to have a lot of faith in a little God. Mm-hmm. Buddha is a little God. Mohammed is a little God. Jesus is a big God. So it's not the size of your faith. It's how we use it. So we have this item called faith. That's why we sang earlier, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. How many people this morning think, it's a waste of time to go to church? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Let me tell you, as a pastor, there have been numbers of times in my ministry where I've been called to the bedside of someone that's on their last legs. I've never had anyone look at me and say, I'm sure glad there's no God. Never happened. They want to know where they're going from here. Now tell them about Jesus. Tell them how to get saved. But nobody says, I'm glad there's no God and I'm going to die and nothing's going to happen. Don't count on it. Without Jesus, you can't go to heaven. So this faith that we have is a guarantee that we know the Lord. And people say, you still believe the Bible? Do I still believe the Bible? What I see going on in the world, and I know that Jesus is going to come. That trumpet's going to sound. It could happen during the service. Wouldn't that be interesting to go from Rocket Ridge to heaven? One blast of that trumpet, and we're out of here. And we have that great faith that we're trusting in the Lord. Now, salvation comes that way. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, judging both of her brothers are believers, know the Lord. Our brother Terry lives down in Newmarket. And when there's urgency in the problem, prayer in our family, he calls Jackie. He calls us the heavy hitters. Jan's got some problems or something here and there. He says, Sam and Jackie, you're the heavy hitters. I said, Terry, I'm on third base. One out. Fly ball, getting home. Right? So when you're praying and I start praying, God isn't going to put you on hold. Say, well, the preacher's praying. You ever get a phone call and somebody puts you on hold? God never puts you on hold. Why? He hears. So salvation is by grace. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why don't more churches have more people getting saved? They don't preach the word. They're not giving up the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I thank the Lord. I grew up in a Bible preaching church. So when I accepted the Lord, it wasn't the first time I heard it. Heard it all my life. But I made it personal. Made a whole lot of difference. But then in 2 Corinthians it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. This church survives by faith. You're trusting God every Sunday. The world doesn't have this. And the world has predicted the death of the church for 2,000 years. Let me tell you something. If you see an obituary in the paper of somebody for 5 years and still walking around, you think something wrong with that obituary. We're not dead. Why? Because the head of the church is not dead. So we walk by faith. We believe the Bible. I feel sorry for people that have nothing to depend on. If your dependence is always on people, they'll disappoint you. Do you ever depend on someone and doesn't go real well? People depend on finances. But the guy was a crook. There's something going on about this new currency, and supposedly second richest man in America is disappearing, and money is disappearing, and we all know about the stock market crash. So things are not there, and I'm sure you folks, you could have $500,000 this past week, because that poor lady over in Nigeria that has $5 million and she wants to put it in your bank account, and you can keep $500,000 of it. You didn't do it, did you? Because you don't have faith in her. And sometimes you think, all right, one of them, I had enough time on my hand when that phone rang. I thought, okay, I'm going to have some fun. So, hello, and she's going, I said, are you still hoodwinking the people? Thank you. Hung up the phone. She hung up on me. I wanted to talk for a little while. You know what? I didn't have any faith in what she was offering. And so with God, we put our eternal destiny in Him. We're totally trusting in Christ. We're believing He died for us. Our faith is totally in Him. And it said, with this shield, we may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Is Satan ever on the attack? think Satan is working overtime. You know why he's working overtime? His time is short. Time is getting shorter. And so Satan is throwing these fiery darts. In the battles in those days, they would light a torch and then shoot that torch and cause all kinds of problems. Satan saying a lot of things, attacking the church, violently throwing it, but it says that we're going to be able to quench, put it out. Satan is telling God how bad we are, and Jesus is saying, I paid for that. When Satan reminds us of something we've done wrong, you can say, thank you for reminding me of that which was cleansed at Calvary. We've been cleansed by the shedding of blood. Psalm 91:5 says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by day, nor the arrow that flies by night. Without faith in the Lord, how do you keep going? How much faith do we have in those who have just been elected? Well, we have some faith in them. But will they all live up to it? Probably not. They probably won't be able to do this. Maybe it's beyond their ability. Maybe they don't plan to. But we have total trust in the Lord. When I die, I'm going to heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then the next one says, and take the helmet of salvation. Helmet. Helmet protects. Over here, Rocky Ridge Fire Company. When those guys go out, they wear a fireman's helmet, don't they? Now, I have a John Deere cap, but I probably wouldn't wear a John Deere cap fighting a fire. You might want to have a helmet. Can you imagine a fireman going out, the blazes, embers are falling down, he's got a John Deere cap on. I like my John Deere cap, but I'd rather have a fireman's helmet on it. And some of you may do some welding. You probably have a welder's helmet with protection. When Dr. High School goes out on the field, the football players have on helmets. Military people, when they get in a battle, they're going to have helmets. So there are various kinds of helmets. Now, you would wear when it fits best. Of all the helmets I mentioned, there's one more. The helmet of salvation. I'm glad I've got a helmet of salvation because the devil is pounding me. Now, I've got a hard hat, but not a hard head. Is there a difference between a hard hat and a hard head? And so we have a hard hat protecting us, and it's called salvation. Provides protection. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, let us put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Because you know what the devil's saying? You're not going to make it. You're not going to get there. You owe God something. Satan is going to the lake of fire. He says, you're going to go there. I said, no, I'm not. Because I got on the helmet of salvation. Now, wouldn't it be great in a battle? Battle Bulge, that we can guarantee that all the soldiers that go in will come back alive. Nobody, can you imagine joining the military and you're going to go into battle and nobody's going to die? My father-in-law realized in World War II that he was going to get into the military. He tried to go in the Navy, but the Army got him. And the first day of boot camp back in the 1940s, he said, now listen up. People are getting killed and you're going to replace them. Hello, have a good day. Are you serious? Can you imagine going and they would tell them, now in the Battle of the Bulge, none of you are going to get killed. I'm telling you this. We're not going to get killed in this spiritual battle. Why? We have a helmet called salvation. How am I going to get there? God is protecting us. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm glad that God is protecting me. And Satan is doing everything he can to destroy people. Satan's going to the lake of fire. His job is to take as many as he can. But he's not taking us. Because when Satan says, I'm going to get you, what did we tell him? Helmet of salvation. So we have that helmet. But there's one other thing that a helmet also does. Protection, but also identification. In a football game, you can tell which team is a Catoctin and which one's not by their helmet. And they're occasionally right now, with the football season being as great as it is, sometimes I get so fed up with all the noise and confusion, I turn on a football game. There's Indiana and Ohio State playing. How do I know which one's which? Their helmet identifies them. So this helmet of salvation identifies us. None of us probably realize how many people know that we're a Christian or that we claim to be a Christian. It would be interesting. How many people you work with, they may not come up to you and say that, but a lot of people know we're Christians. We're identified as Christians. Now that has led to persecution also in various parts of the world. But I want to be identified as armored Christian soldiers. We're part of the army of God, meaning the captain of our salvation is Jesus. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first, also to the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. The way some Christians live, sometimes you wonder about it. But I'm glad that I'm a Christian. One of the things when I was growing up in school, one of the motivations, probably you guys more than the girls, was don't embarrass the family name. I knew that Mark's name should not be defamed by me. The fact that the principal was my grandmother's relative did not help. I mean, he knew me before I got on the ground. My purpose was keep your head down, get out of here, don't get hurt, and don't bring embarrassment to your parents. Now, nowadays, the parents go in and fight for the kids. It wasn't that way in our day. If we got in trouble in school, that was only round one. Where it was round two? When Dad heard about it. So as a Christian, I don't want to bring shame on the Lord. I trust when people think about me, they say something good about the Lord. Same with you. People talk about this church, how good God is. Just look at Monocacy Church of the Brethren and the people that go there. We're a testimony for the Lord. And then the third one, or the last one for the day is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There are two words for sword in the New Testament. This one is the short sword. We call it a dagger. There's another word which means that great big sword is mow people down. Sword of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to call this concealed weapon. Now that we have any sealed weapons, when we think of sealed weapon, we think of a gun. Well, in my days in school, concealed weapon also might include a knife. I mean, a knife can do some pretty good work to you if you have to do. And so I'm looking at what we have here as a concealed weapon of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is our concealed weapon. People wonder, how can you be happy with what's going on in the world? We have the Word of God. We don't get happiness from circumstances. I will admit, I'm more sad than happy about the election last week. But my joy in the Lord hasn't been affected at all. So we have this joy in the Lord. Now it's used in hand-to-hand combat. Apparently Peter had one of these. Remember when they were in the garden? It says one stretched out his hand, drew his sword, cut off that serpent's ear. I can't prove it, but I think when that soldier saw Peter bring that sword up, he went like up like this, and Peter just sliced his ear off rather than cut his head off. And Jesus put it back in, put the ear back on, and what did he say? Put your sword away. So it could be used like that. Also, it's able to dissect the inner thoughts. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God cuts both ways. Many times, I guess I've said it here a few times, I'm more convicted by my sermon than you probably are. Because you ever tell your kids, y'all know better? Didn't I tell you that? Shouldn't you have learned that? And so we want the word of God to be sharp. I believe in sharp knives. Do you believe in sharp knives too? Especially in surgery. My dad had the steel where you sharpen your knife. Would you want the surgeon just before he starts operating, he's sharpening his knife a little bit? No, I think I'd rather go a little sharper than that. Especially when I did my carotid artery and had to go in my neck. I want that knife to be as sharp as it could be. Well, aren't you glad we have a word of God that's sharp? Sometimes our thoughts are not right. Are you glad God cuts that? I'm glad that there have been a couple times that things have been removed from my body. Part of my colon was taken out because part of it, they weren't sure what it was going to be. I'm glad the knife was sharp and I survived. So it's able to dissect all the thoughts that we have. But the interesting thing here, the sword of the Spirit, this short knife that we have, is called the Word of God. How to explain this? There are two words in the Bible for word. One is called logos. We would say, we would agree, this is the word of God, right? We say, this is the word of God. That's the logos of God. However, the Greek word here is rhema, which means a precise statement. We would say, we believe the Bible, but we also believe the verses in the Bible. If someone would say to you, I believe the Bible, you would say what? Yes. They would say, what's it say? Oh. If you say you believe the Bible, can you quote the Bible? Now, I'll give you credit, Debbie. We've already quoted part of the Bible, haven't we? It begins with our Father, which art in heaven. Okay, so what this means, we know the very sayings in the Bible. We know the very words in the Bible. It comes from Bible memory. This is what probably led my wife to the Lord when she was accepted to Christ. She didn't have the Christian background I did, but was memorizing the Word in the church and the Word of God in her heart. So we memorize the various words, scripture verses. If I could say John 3:16, you know what that is, don't you? There was a football player that, maybe I've mentioned the illustration, that didn't know anything whatsoever. Just every time they go to a stadium, there was people holding up a sign that says John 3:16. He went to one of his prayers and said, what is John 3:16? People holding up John 3:16. What's that? The guy said, I think it's a verse in the Bible. Guy went to a bookstore, bought a Bible, read John 3:16, and got saved. So it's verses in the Bible. What does the Bible actually say? And sometimes people say, the Bible contradicts itself. You say, start proving it. Now, our interpretations may conflict, but not the Bible. So it means the very words in the Bible. Let me give you a couple of examples. When Jesus was tested in Matthew 4, Satan said, do this. And Jesus said, it is written. And then Jesus would quote some Bible verse correctly. going back to Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was the first thing Satan did to Eve? What did God say? When somebody quotes you, is a paraphrase good enough? Or you want word for word? I didn't say it that way. I said it this way. We want the word. So Eve kind of quoted what God somewhat said, and then said, God said, when you eat, you shall surely die. She said, lest we die. So Eve misquoted the Bible. What happened? She ate of the fruit, fell in sin. Every time Satan tested Jesus, Jesus always said, it is written. So when Satan tempts us, we should have a Bible verse there that shows what we should be doing. It refers to the individual words, what God actually said. We won't turn there, but in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times, God said, God said, let there be light. We were talking this morning with Frank and Pat all the way over here, just so you folks know that the last couple of times we came here, we got a free taxi to the church. Frank and Pat. And so we were talking about how beautiful the mountain looked this morning and around here. And we're thanking the Lord for how beautiful it is because we know the Creator. But people that don't know the Creator, they just think it's just happenstance. It's not. God said, and it happened. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, when my wife and I moved into our home down there in D.C., after we lived in an apartment a little bit, I had the deacons from the church and the elders helping us move furniture in. So I walked in the kitchen, and Reverend Marks, as I am, I walk over, I see a switch, I say, let there be light. Turn it on, garbage disposal came on. Well, I'm not quite going. My light's a garbage disposal, you know, didn't work too well. To have a deacon with him is even worse. I've been by myself, been fine, but have him there, have Mr. Woodard, like, oh man, I'll never hear the last of this. And then we had a theologian in our church, Dr. John Walford. He has written some books about the Bible and creation and is well known in the fundamental circles. And we had him speak at our church one time. And over the top of the pulpit, we had a pulpit, what we call, like you have a pulpit light here, you have one here. So Dr. Whitcomb.
You said Whitcomb.
Dr. Whitcomb, thank you. Okay, so Dr. Whitcomb stood in the pulpit and began his great message on God and the Bible. He began by saying, let there be light. And the ball blew out, right? So I'm finished with saying, let there be light. But can you believe that all God had to say was, let there be light. And there it is. Let the firmament divide. There it is. Can you say to the river when it's flooding, river, go back. Go back where you were. You better have one hip boots if you say that. But when God says it, it happens. So when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished. It is finished. Amen. When Jesus says, come to me and I give you life, it means what? Come to Jesus and you have light. John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are light. Now, we have in our Bible a lot of the words of Jesus. Isn't that great to look in there and say, this is what Jesus said. And are you sure? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to follow the Lord with all our armor on. And as Dr. In Sunday school class, Dr. Jeremiah is talking about, we stand. We're not chasing the devil. God's going to fight for us. But we have on great armor. Aren't you glad that you're clothed with all of God's armor and everything that we have about us and victory in Christ? Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for the armor you've given to us. It's all sufficient. It's needed, and we have it. May we live in a way that would glorify you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.